When you return to work after this holiday weekend, you should know that the Bush administration may soon change the rules that determine whether you qualify for overtime pay. Businesses and labor unions disagree sharply over the proposal. Depending on who you ask, this proposal will either help millions of workers or hurt millions of workers. So we're going to try to thrash out the facts. And we will start with the U.S. Labor Department, which is reviewing the rules right now. Assistant Labor Secretary Victoria Lipnick laid out the administration's position this past week.
The current rules, which have been in place since 1949, are hopelessly out of date. And frankly, they just cause a lot of confusion. They're very complex, and they don't apply very well to today's workforce.
That's the Labor Department's point of view. Joining us now are Mike Eastman, who's with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, which supports the policy change. Mr. Eastman, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And also Deborah Greenfield. She's with the AFL-CIO, which opposes key parts of this policy change. And welcome to you.
Thank you.
Let's begin with some basics here. Why change the rules now?
From our perspective, the most important thing here is that what should be a very easy task, determining an employee's overtime eligibility, is in fact a very complex one with little certainty. Even the most well-intentioned employer can be very unsure as to whether or not they've classified employees correctly.
The basic principle here is that if you're a low-paid worker, you ought to get overtime if you work more than 40 hours a week. But if you're a high-paid manager, you don't necessarily have to get overtime, right?
I think at its most basic, yes.
Now, we don't think there's anything outdated about the current rules. If an executive is to be deprived of the right of overtime, that executive should not perform more than a certain amount of work that is typical of someone who does deserve to be paid overtime.
You mean if you should be a factory supervisor, you shouldn't necessarily be a factory worker who's classified as an executive?
That's right. The employer should not be able to deprive you of the right to overtime simply because you're spending a minority of your time doing supervisory work.
So, Mike, what's wrong with those rules right now?
A good example would be folks in journalism in general. The regulations determining who is and who is not eligible for overtime in the news industry were written in 1949, 14 years before the first televised half-hour news broadcast.
I'm eligible for overtime.
The rules to determine whether or not you should be eligible are very out of date and very hard to apply.
Right now, the rule says if you make as little as $8,000 a year but you're a manager, then you can be excluded from overtime. It would raise that to $22,000 a year. Does the Chamber of Commerce have a problem with that?
The increase is about 170% increase. And there are a number of employers that are very concerned about that increase and what it will do with classifying their employees. However, they believe that on the whole, an increase in the salary level coupled with changes in the duties tests and salary basis test will make the regulations easier and more consistent with the intent of the Fair Labor Standards Act.
Well, titles are deceptive. Someone who's making $22,100 a year is making, in some instances, if this is a family of four with a sole breadwinner, just slightly above poverty line. A manager isn't a manager simply because he or she may spend a little bit of time directing the work of other people. There are several hoops the employer has to go through to prove who is a manager, and it's designed precisely to make sure that the person who is not really of a status that would make sense to exempt that person from overtime is still getting it. So you're going to have someone in a fast food restaurant making as little as $22,100 who perhaps spends 20% of his or her time supervising as few as two employees. That person is going to be exempt from overtime.
The Labor Department is going through its list of people who are classified as being eligible to receive overtime. How many people will be affected by that?
We've been relying on a study by the Economic Policy Institute that shows roughly 8 million people will lose the right to overtime if these proposals become the regulations that employers follow.
Do you accept that number?
Well, I don't have an estimate of the actual number. The Labor Department has said that about 644,000 would lose their entitlement to overtime. The biggest cost savings employers will realize from a proposed rule change is ease in classifying employees and reduced litigation costs over litigating what is now a very unclear and complex and out-of-date test. And so I think employers in the long run will not experience significant cost savings or cost increases based on the numbers of people who switch from one category to the other.
Mike Eastman is with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Mr. Eastman, thanks very much for taking the time.
Thank you.
And Deborah Greenfield is with the AFL-CIO. Deborah, thank you very much.
Thank you.